going to read an account that we have because of Jesus' ministry and his love for people and his interaction with people. And as we read the Gospels, we learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And in Luke 9, we have Jesus' conversation with three different individuals. And they all had an interest in being a follower of Jesus, and we'll learn what Jesus' response was to them. The title of the message is Christ First? Is Christ First? We'll be looking at the passage Luke 9, 57 through 62. We'll look at them verse by verse. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Notice, a certain man, maybe he was a middle-aged man, and he was impressed with Jesus. And maybe he was someone that knew there was a lot of problems, and he agreed with Jesus that finally we have a man that has the right answers to all the problems of society. And this certain man, he comes to Jesus, and he makes quite an impressive commitment. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He may have expected a pat in the back from Jesus and say, I'm just looking for someone like you. It's probably what he expected. But instead, what he hears is in verse 58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, Jesus told this man in a few words that you need to count the cost. That to follow me requires self-denial. And he says that to follow me requires abandonment to self. Of course, Jesus knew the man's heart. He obviously appreciated worldly comfort and security. Probably thought that was pretty important. But Jesus left him know that if he follows him, he's going to be homeless. And basically said, fellow, are you ready to be homeless? Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know, Jesus lays his eyes on another man, and he gives him the best invitation that there is. Follow me. Follow the Son of Man. It's a term that he's used a number of times. Well, the man responds with a Lord, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and to bury my father. Matthew Henry says, I have an aged father at home who cannot live long and will need me while he does live. Let me go and attend on him until he is dead. Then I will do anything. And we have in verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus pleaded with him. You know, he didn't let him off real easily. He even commands him. He says, go and preach the kingdom of God. You know, this man's problems and responsibilities overwhelmed him, and he felt like he needs to handle those things first before he goes and follows Jesus. He needs to get these matters taken care of first. And after that, he would follow Jesus. In verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. This man offers himself to Jesus. He was willing. Maybe he was there and he saw what happened to the other two. And then he comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow thee. Yes, he made his decision that he would follow Jesus, but he needed to handle something else first. Maybe he needed to go talk to his family first and see how they felt about it. And Jesus, in verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Yet Jesus' response to this man was probably one that he never forgot. He probably always remembered, you know, his bold declaration to follow Jesus and then what Jesus had to say. It would be difficult to forget the visual that Jesus gave him. But he got the point. You know, he had decided to follow Jesus, but he looked back. Therefore, he was not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, what lesson, what truths can we gain from this story? What does God want us to learn from this account? It's written here for our admonition and our teaching. Another question for us to think about. You know, we're here because of in a week and a half, Lord willing, we'll take communion. The Bible exhorts us to examine ourselves and look inward. Think about these three men. They don't seem that terribly bad. They all said they want to follow Jesus. But would have they been all fit for communion? Could have they taken communion? Well, we're here, like I said, because the Bible emphasizes that taking communion is really important that we do it worthily. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And I think about, as we think about this story, this account, I think we need to think about our own life. And a question we need to think about, is Christ first in my life? That's the title of the message, is Christ first? Wasn't that the problem here with each of them is Christ wasn't first. And it was very clear that that was a requirement to be a follower of Jesus, that he needs to be first. And we like to think about what I would consider three characteristics of Christ first in men and women, in Christians, in real Christians. We notice in Luke chapter 9, the first point, thinking about three different characteristics of someone that has Christ first in their life. We take one from Luke 9, 23 and 25, which is unconditional surrender. Luke 9, 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Unconditional surrender. Was not that the root issue for all three of them? They did not have that unconditional surrender. It was rather a number of times it says, but me first. Me, I want to first do this. Two of the three used the words, but me first. And that's not acceptable with Jesus. Unconditional surrender means Christ has authority in everything in our life. My life, your life, we're a true follower of Jesus. He has authority in everything. And it means also that every excuse that we give to reserve control, we give up. We burn it up. We give it up. You see, that's is a hard thing for humans. We like to have a little bit of control. And Jesus is saying, you're going to be a follower of me. You need to excuse that, excuse every control tactic that you have. And just get rid of it. And it also means that we quit crying over our loss of control. You know, we can, this is so hard. You know, God has asked me to do this and wants me to do this. And then we can cry and brutes that we aren't getting out of life what we wanted. If we're a follower of Jesus, he wants us to quit crying over our loss of control. And it means that we turn over our whole self. Our hobbies, our reading, our desires, our future. It means that we trust Christ, not with 85% or 90%, but wholly, he's our master of 100%. You see, he will be master of all or none. It's not complicated with him. And you see how human nature desires to operate with the illustration of the three men. And it was unacceptable with Jesus to be a follower of Jesus. You know, at the heart of natural man is the seed of rebellion. And that's why those three came up short. They wanted to kind of run their own life and do their own thing in their own time. And these were three well-meaning fellows. I mean, I think they were respectable men. But they lacked, what they lacked was surrender, and they lacked commitment. And brethren and sisters, that's so native to our human nature. Because that me first dies so hard. It just does. It dies hard. But to be a follower of Jesus, every little bit of that me first needs to go. And that can be really a hard thing. In our story, I guess they all kind of sadly went away. Secondly, is Christ first. Another characteristic is radical discipleship. Let's look at Luke 14, 25 through 27. Luke 14, 25 through 27. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then moving down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Notice that there was three cannots. Cannot. Jesus was very strong. His words are very strong. And you know, our loyalty and our love for Jesus needs to be foremost. And we can get so focused on a lot of other things, but brethren and sisters, our love and loyalty for Jesus needs to be foremost. It's so important. In fact, we need to be prepared to despise anything or anyone that would threaten our devotion to Christ. That's what he's saying here. He said this comes right into family. It's saying that you need to be devoted to me more than anyone. And Jesus himself illustrated this when Peter tried to turn him from the suffering on the cross. You know, he rebuked Peter pretty strongly in Matthew 16, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You know, easy Christianity is a sham. It's not true that you can just be, have everything and yet still have tag on Jesus yet. Jesus says the only Christians are followers of him or radical disciples. If we are embracing radical discipleship, something will come to protest it. Question, what has come to protest it in your life? If you're being a radical Christian, there will be things that protest it. What is it that's in our life that's protesting radical discipleship? In Luke 14:33, you know, it just does not cut us any slack. And notice, again, it says, "Forsaketh not all that he hath." Because he mentions that because our tendency is to give up things that don't matter and retain something else that does. Jesus sees right through us. And then we think we're being good because, yeah, I'm giving this up, but it's not really the most important to me. And Jesus says, well, forsake not all that he hath. You know, we can be a little like Ananias and Sapphira, you know, save back of, you know, what they felt was important. They thought really good that, oh, we're giving all this, but we're going to keep a little bit of this back for ourselves and nobody has to know it. And that's a question for us to think about tonight. Are we applying radical discipleship to everything in our life? You know, we can tend to have it in favorite areas. Can we apply it across the board to technology, to smartphones, computer use, stewardship of money and time, clothing, finances, assets, relationships, dreams, food cravings, attractions, vacations, diversions? Yeah. Can we apply radical discipleship to everything? Thirdly, another characteristic of is Christ first is total commitment. Total commitment, no looking back. Notice that in Luke 9, verse 62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, the man was talking. Well, the man Jesus was talking to got the point. It was very forceful. And he'll probably remember it for the rest of his life. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we want to be fit. We need to be totally committed and loyal to Jesus. There was a story in North Korea when they fell to the communists. All the Christians were told to go to a church in a village there, and the building was plain and simple. And the people there had a picture of Jesus on the wall. And they took it down, the soldiers took it down, put it in the floor. And they said that, hey, if you don't want to be shot, anybody that comes and spits on Jesus, you'll be set free. It was a picture of Jesus. And the first four people did, and they were set free. And then there was another young girl that came. And she came to that picture and she wiped the, bent down, wiped the spittle from the picture. And then she embraced that picture of Jesus and said, "Jesus, I love you." And she was taken outside and the sound of the shots were heard. The issue for that girl was not the desecration of a sacred object. It was love for that person that picture represented. She truly love Jesus. You know, to spit on that picture of Jesus would have been the same as is denying Jesus in her mind. And I agree with her. And I admire that. And I'm challenged with it. How does commitment look? How does it look in our life? Are we plowing a straight row of truth and living it out? It was mentioned. I like that, those thoughts that Chad had. You know, if our, we have values, then we truly have them. They're going to be shown. They're going to be lived out. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, phrase here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Is it the will of the Father that we obey the Bible and make applications to the principles of God's word? And that's something that we can all struggle with at times. I listened to a message from our PMC website, and it was Aaron Shank preaching at maybe Millersville. It was at Millersville. It was back in 1965 or something. It was a very good message, and he had a story in there that it was a minister that was explaining 1 Corinthians 11 to a sister about wearing a veiling, wearing a covering. And he went over, explained it to her. He said, now, do you understand it? She said, no, she doesn't. And this happened three times. He explained it, and she said, she does not understand it. Well, finally he said, well, if you would understand it, would you do it? Well, no, she didn't think she would. You see, that was the problem. And that's sometimes our problem, is not a lack of understanding, but a desire to do the will of my Father in heaven. And Mennonite churches are struggling everywhere to maintain principles and applications. And of course, that was a covering. I mentioned just somewhere else recently, I was talking to an older relative, and he just, I felt so bad for him. He said his daughter was there. She did not have a covering. But he said, you know what? Sure, when she was 15, there was a customer that came to the door for something. And she asked about the covering. And she said, he said that she got her Bible and she could explain it. He said she explained it better than what he could have. But the sad thing was she was there without a covering. And the same day I talked to someone else, and yeah, same thing. Girl that went to college, and yeah, he was concerned, and she eventually tossed it away. Well, that's sad, and it's a reminder. And I emphasize that tonight. Well, we have a lot of talk of spirituality, and one of them, someone recently said about their child, is they were just told that their child's going to go to Effort Community Church. And so I went online to see, what does it say there? It says, find a place to belong, to be cared for, to be encouraged, and to connect with God and others. Be strengthened in your journey with God. And I'm not here to throw stones at Effort Community Church. And maybe they're helping some people. But I'm trying to wrap my mind around Mennonites throwing away many things that they've been taught to go to a church that just emphasizes basically what's inside. So I believe that when we're totally committed to Jesus, doing the will of the Father, somehow we need to connect that to this Bible, what it teaches, and we live it out in many practical areas. The same brother I'll call him a brother in Christ. He's an older man. Something that he emphasized over again and again. He said, once you lose nonconformity in another generation, it'll be gone. You'll have lesbians, you'll have whatever. And he was thinking back to his 1W days and where people are. But thinking over what he was saying, he's, you know, it doesn't take even two generations. But he emphasized again and again, nonconformity. This is somebody that saw a lot of people's choices in life, and has children making choices that is a grief to him. So it's important that we maintain a life of commitment and obedience to God's word. Well, is Christ first in our life? That's very important, that we are living for God and have a total commitment to God. And I know that we, in truth, we struggle, then we need to repent. We get and continue on. That will continue on till our dying day, I believe. The battle is real, and that's why Christians are commanded to put on the armor of God, because Satan's trying to get a foothold in our life. My personal testimony is I've been challenged with discipleship. I want to grow in discipleship. You know, the scripture is very clear to me that that's the only way I'll be saved, if I'm a truly committed, sold out follower of Jesus.